Carlos, how are you doing?
Good morning, everyone. I'm now convening this meeting of the City of Portland Budget Committee. And welcome citizen advisors as well as members of the Budget Committee. Let me reset the context and then turn it over to Andrew and team for us to start working our way through discussion items. I think it's the intention of everyone to vet issues today and vote on them Wednesday, but we can talk about that. So 2 weeks ago, I proposed the budget for the City of Portland. Very proud of that proposed budget, and I think it addresses some critical needs in the city. The primary critical needs that I think we'll still need to take more action by this council if we don't adopt that budget in full are subjects of public safety and homelessness response. I think one of the issues that I see as mayor is the level of police response that we're able to provide in the city, and it is now at a point of serious crisis where we are 64 positions down in the police bureau, and we need to hire more police officers in a state where there are 250 vacant positions competing for available recruits. We have to face that problem, and my proposed budget faces it in a way that obviously is not acceptable to a majority of the council because it would require raising new revenue. Secondly, we need to do more for homelessness response than build affordable housing, which we are doing with enormous investments by this city that I think we're all very proud of, and by dealing with the day-to-day problems of day storage, camp management and cleanup, and other services that we're working through our great partnership with the Multnomah County and the Housing Authority on through A Home for Everyone. We also need to be taking people from the streets to services, and the kind of diversion program that Seattle has used so successfully with their LEAD program is something that we desperately need here. And my proposed budget included funding for that program. That is an issue, again, that we will need to face. So we're going to address the budget this morning. We have a couple of versions of the budget in front of us, one that relies on the new revenues and spends those on those additional services, and another that does not provide for those new revenues and therefore cuts the effort at police staffing and at homelessness response. Nevertheless, we're doing a lot of other great things in this budget that I'm very happy about, but I am very concerned that those two issues will remain unaddressed if we adopt a budget with no new revenues in it. So that's my perspective on the budget before us. Again, we have a couple of documents here that Andrew will talk about. One is a short summary of the 2016-17 approved budget. The other is the 2016-17 approved budget with no new revenue and cuts, including the ones I mentioned, in order to balance. I think it's also appropriate this morning for us to talk about items that council members think should still be in the proposed budget. We don't necessarily have to take motions and actions on those today, but I think there are some individual items that people are concerned about that one way or another might not have gotten addressed in either version of the budget and that need discussion. And then I know we want to talk about budget notes, and there's some verbiage on the table already from at least one of us about budget notes. Anything else for the good of the order that any of you think we need to cover this morning before I turn it over to Andrew? Okay, Andrew, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, Citizen Advisors. So as the Mayor has noted, the approved budget was filed last Monday and will be voted on this Wednesday on the 18th of May. This Budget Committee meeting is designed to continue conversations about that approved budget, again, in preparation for approval on Wednesday. As the mayor noted, there are two documents in front of you. The FY 2016-17 approved budget is as it was filed last Monday. And then the approved budget, parentheses, no new revenue, is an alternative proposal based on discussions with some staff in your offices. Today's meeting, Budget Committee members can raise other issues, propose changes, et cetera. Really, the goal of today, from my perspective, is to see if there's any additional information that council needs or that the budget committee needs in your current role, moving forward with the budget, and then whether there is any direction to the city budget office regarding potential amendments for Wednesday. And as we've discussed, those amendments can be in the form of individual amendments on individual line items, or they can also take the place of overall packages and substitutes. With that, what I will do is just walk briefly through sort of the document. We've already walked through the approved budget during our work session last week, and the mayor's given a little bit of an overview of that. The second document, the approved budget with no new revenue, what you'll see on the front sheet and sort of the a little bit of the back is essentially a clean version of what that looks like in terms of where the investments go. I think the most useful thing is to look at the table on the bottom of the second page. And what that shows is a breakout of changes from the approved budget, since that is the document we're working off of, in terms of changes that this alternative has. So that's where I will start, and happy to go into more detail on any of these if interested. We do have a lot of Bureau staff in the room as well as CBO analysts, so we should be able to answer most questions today. The biggest change in terms of the breakout at the very bottom, you can see there's no business license tax increase, so the $8.7 million is backed out of this option. And then in order to maintain balance, starting at the top, $1.7 million of ongoing funding for police body cameras was backed out. $3 million of police staffing, increased police staffing costs was removed. The intensive street housing, the intensive street engagement, $1.2 million, was moved from ongoing to one-time. So you'll see that on the one-time column on the right side. It shows up as a negative on the left and a positive on the right. The housing diversion program, the law enforcement diversion program, $2.3 million was removed from this option. Special events coordination, this was the new effort to coordinate special events throughout the city. That there was an FTE related to that, as well as some other costs that were removed. The benefit corporation proposal in the Portland Development Commission, the $275,000 ongoing was removed. And then if you look at the right side, the second line on the one time, PDC had also been given $75,000 of carryover in the spring bump. And so if we're not moving forward with the larger piece, that $75,000 was removed as well. The staffing cost of the Rosewood Community Center, the $55,000, was removed. $200,000 of special appropriation grants was transferred from ongoing to one time. And so the overall special appropriation grants amount is still at the $1 million amount, but it is now all one time. Innovation fund was reduced by an additional $500,000, so that's a $1 million reduction overall in the innovation fund, so that would zero that line item out moving forward. Symphony in the Park, $190,000, was moved from ongoing to one time, so you see it on both sides of the ledger. $75,000 was added to cover Saturday youth basketball costs at the Parks Bureau. As you'll recall, the Portland Public Schools is charging the city for janitorial overtime related to the Saturday youth basketball. We think that amount is about $150,000, although it's possible it will be a little bit lower. We're still working with the Parks Bureau on that. They already had $75,000 in the approved, so this would increase it to $150,000. The Portland Bureau of Emergency Management is receiving an additional $62,000 to cover some satellite phone and other grant backfill costs within PBEM. $66,000 of support for the Village Market was added in. This has been a one-time special appropriation for a number of years in the city, and this would add it in as an ongoing special appropriation. There was a partial restoration of Out of the Mud. You may recall the approved budget had an overall reduction of $1 million for the Out of the Mud program out of the $1.2 million total. So this would add another $250,000 back, and so the total cut to Out of the Mud would be $750,000 ongoing. In the auditor's office, $53,000 of general fund to restore the audit services cut. It is a general fund overhead funded position, so this shows the discretionary, and there's some non-general fund portion of that as well. $48,000 was added back into the Bureau of Environmental Services budget to restore the tree planting reduction that they had offered up as part of their 5% reduction. And then $204,000 of ongoing was added back into general fund contingency. And overall, you'll see that we end up about $181,000 to the good on the ongoing side. And then I'll go down the one-time side as well for things we haven't talked about yet, and you'll see that there's a negative on the one-time side. NATO Parkway improvement, almost just under $1.5 million to keep some of those NATO Parkway improvements for the summer and make them permanent was removed from the budget, as well as the $75,000 that I've mentioned on B Corps. In the Office of Management and Finance, there was $38,000 for an HR position carryover. That position was restored, so they OMF got the carryover in the spring bump in anticipation of the position being cut. The position was restored, and so this removes that carryover so that there's not double funding there. As I mentioned, intensive street engagement was added back on the one-time side, as were the grants, Symphony in the Park. And then finally, $161,000 that had been removed one time from contingency is added back. Total contingency stands at just about $2.4 million after these changes. And you'll see about $181,000 negative on the one-time side. What that means overall is that we are $181,000 to the good on ongoing, $181,000 to the bad on one-time, so we're using ongoing resources to fund $181,000 of one-time, which again, that's a perfectly legitimate thing to use ongoing for one-time. It's the reverse that we try and avoid.
The special appropriation grant fund now totals $1 million?
It is $1 million, okay. All in one-time.
Correct. So our new process for processing special appropriations can proceed, obviously, with that. But it's set up as one time, so if it works, it works. If it doesn't, the council can go back to appropriating special appropriations in a political process.
That's right. And the support position is still funded, moving on the special appropriations, the support position in OMF.
And there's a clarification on that. When you put $1 million in your proposed budget, was there anything special about that number?
It was a best guess average of what we have typically done in special appropriations from year to year. It's varied because some years, you know, the council said we want to help with Concordia, you know, and their effort. Other years, for example, the Earl Boyles project was another. So typically, we have identified at least one major community initiative where we wanted to be a partner. I'm not sure if our funding for the Unity Center was in that category or not, but that's the kind of thing where we're saying we want to be a community center, a community partner. It's not our project, somebody else's initiative. We want to be involved. And then there are some other programs that we have often funded. And so it's really a net average, an average of what we have typically done, some years more, some years less.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. And why was the James Beard Public Market not asked to compete for the grants? Right? Why was it a special line item? And what is that $200,000 for?
Well, that's project development. That's design, I think. And I think we need to have either PBOT, probably PBOT, talk about that more. But that's to design the changes in the transportation system to allow the project to proceed, because there's two Multnomah County-owned roadway ramps there, and there's a major piece of the bike network that could come to earth off of what those ramps are now, and that work's got to get done in terms of site design in order for the project to proceed. That's my understanding, Steve. Is that right?
It's really not a special appropriation to the market. It's additional funding for PBOT. Is that correct?
I'm not sure who's doing the work, whether it's being done by... I probably said the work's being done by PBOT.
Yeah, and I confess I don't know what the breakdown is either. Yeah. Let me find out.
Mayor, can I... So as I read it, the special appropriation under this proposal would be $1 million. Contingency would be $2.4 million. And we're preserving the $2 million of capital set aside. And is that capital set-aside money in future years subject to a competitive process, or what's your vision for that?
So the capital set-aside, the ongoing, has not been, we haven't talked about sort of an allocation process. I think if it does stay in through the adopted budget, we'll need to have that conversation with council. Certainly, there's an option to add it to the financial policy around one time, which goes for major maintenance and replacement projects. It could also be a fund designed to both do major maintenance and replacement, as well as some expansion of service projects. I think that's a conversation we'll need to have. It is being used, and it's allocated one time in the 16-17 budget for some of the one-time projects. So it's really a 17-18 and beyond in terms of the conversation and, of how it gets allocated.
Thank you.
I was wondering if the $1 million of block net money reflects the fact that some of the special appropriations seem to be brought into the ongoing budget, like the VOS and Village Market and stuff like that. Did you guys take that into account?
Yeah, I don't think we're not there yet in terms of having everything that's a special appropriation funded that way in this proposal. Sorry, I've got to do something.
There are, Rob, there are ongoing special appropriations that have been in the budget for a while. There are new ones, as you mentioned, VOS was added into PDC's budget last year. And so, again, in that reduction was not taken. Village Market is proposed to be added in this year. There are existing special appropriations. RAC is by far the largest. There are other smaller ones as well. I think the grants process is looking more at the things that the city's not necessarily funding on an ongoing basis, but just on a one-off.
Other comments, questions? Rita, please.
Just a process question, just because we're dealing with so many different budgets and I'm new. I take it what we had the CBO's proposed budget and then this approved budget, and we're starting from the approved budget, and now we're looking at $8 million to come out of this budget.
Yeah, the term approved I find confusing because it has
I know it, though.
It's the proposed approved.
Approved.
Well, yeah, and just to clarify, because you said that, so CBO puts recommendations out in March. The mayor proposes a budget, which is the first really formal proposal that gets put on the table. And then we are now in the approved budget process. So there's an approved budget that was filed because we have to have a document to discuss. And that reflects the mayor's proposal with just a couple minor changes. And what this committee is talking about now are any additional changes they want to see to that.
Okay, so this really is a proposed budget, not an approved budget originally from the mayor. Okay, I'm.
Yeah. Wasn't me trying to do truth, non-truth in packaging. It's state budget law.
I understand with the school district, it's proposed till we vote on it in June, so everything's proposed in that case. I'm questioning why youth passes are in here when it appears, if I'm reading this all right, yet we're cutting some of the police staffing dollars.
Well, the youth bus pass is an ongoing commitment. So we have been doing that. We have not been providing higher compensation for our police officers in order to hire more. So one's a continuation, the other's a change. I believe we should do both, and that's why I proposed both. But there is that distinction.
From a school person, and I understand the school funding, it's an equity issue in East Portland, but also the fact lies with school passes. Portland has chosen not to provide bus transportation for their high school. It's a choice the school makes, our district provides it and pays for it. They also could pay for it. They're in much better economic positions than they were when you started taking over the youth passes. They have a local option that they just renewed, so it isn't compressed. So they have additional funds. I'd rather see that $1 million spent on some increases for the police than on school, on something the school district should be doing.
I share your concern about the equity, although I would suggest we go in the other direction and that we should be providing youth passes for David Douglas and Park Rose. Park Rose students did a study and got over 1,000 responses, and 41% of their students have taken TriMet to school because they've missed the school bus. Plus, there's the issue of I think we should be doing it year-round so that students can get to events year-round. I agree with, I share your concern, and I do think we need to look at ongoing what the school districts pay for and what we pay for. In terms of police, I agree that with the mayor that we need additional funding to provide incentives for transfers and to retain officers. I don't see that the proposal that's being discussed currently is going to get us there. And so I applaud the mayor's determination to not hand the new mayor, who we may find out who that might be tomorrow evening, we may not. I applaud your determination to not hand that person a big deficit, such as you had to start off with. On the other hand, that's what mayors do. And so I think there is some money in the proposed amended budget for additional compensation for recruitment and for attracting officers, not nearly as much as the mayor proposed. I think that that's an ongoing discussion that we will need to have, both in bargaining and then figure out how to pay for it. There's also other unions who are currently in bargaining, including the AFSCME folks at 911, who have also negotiated, as I mentioned in the budget hearing last week, and are working on constructively, without breaking the bank, how can we provide incentives to keep those essential workers employed and to retain and attract more of them. So there's a lot of complicated things at play, and I think what we need to do in this budget is to use the resources we have wisely and then come back to the community with a conversation about, do we need additional resources?
So it would be a good time at this point, I think, for us to put either large or small changes on the table for people to think about and then vote on Wednesday. And let me suggest one significant change and put it in context again. We are living on borrowed time on a couple of issues. One is the level of police staffing that we have in the city. We're now 64 positions down. Our projection is that's going to be as much as 100 by this fall. We all understand the consequences if that is the case, that we will have to start pulling people out of specialty units. It's just a pick your poison question of whether that's traffic or school resource officers or domestic violence or drug advice. You know, no good choices. We need to face that issue and address it. Whether we face it in this budget or very soon thereafter. A couple of other related questions, and one you just raised. The contingency, in my opinion, in this budget and the compensation set aside needs to be such that if we are successful in reaching a collective bargaining agreement with our 911 operators, that we're able to easily fund that commitment. And so we're set up at this point to be able to do that. Although I am always a fan of capital investment, if we're making some choices here, one choice that I would prioritize over appropriating general fund ongoing to additional capital projects not otherwise identified in the budget is on the other issue on which we're living on borrowed time, and that's body cameras. I believe we should move to fund implementation of body cameras. We asked the legislature for the authority to do this. We appropriated $800,000 for the equipment, partial funding for this initiative. And every night that we don't have a controversial police shooting is one more night in which we've gotten away with not having. I thought it made sense. There we go. Body cameras at the scene of that kind of tragedy. So if we have the option within this budget of funding part of this police effort, one of the options would be to fund our investment in body cameras, and I would recommend that we consider that on Wednesday, and I will propose that as an amendment on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mary. I share that concern about setting aside some money for body cameras. There's now $150,000 in ongoing money for Saturday youth basketball. I don't believe that request for the additional $75,000 came from our office, so if I got to prioritize funding within parks, I would prefer to use $150,000 of ongoing money for two parks rangers for East Precinct, which is East and North Portland. Currently, as you remember, we only have dedicated rangers on the west side, and that's a clear inequity, plus with all of the challenges that we've been having in our parks. I believe that having year-round permanent positions for rangers would be preferable, again, using that money within parks. And as Frieda notes, perhaps it's an opportunity to go back to the Portland Public School District and say, you know, if we're going to keep the school bus pass in the budget, then how about you pick up those $150,000 in janitorial costs? Either that or take it one time this year and have that discussion next year.
Okay, can we get clarification on that? I thought it was $75,000. It is 100. It's not. It's neither 75 nor 150. The request was 100.
The request was 150. We have recently heard that the cost may be 100,000, but we were still trying to verify that.
Certainly, but if we pay for this, we're certainly not going to pay more than the cost.
There was 75 in your budget, Mayor, and then there's an additional 75 here, which is 150.
Right. Okay. That's what
I'm
trying to
figure
out.
So what I'm saying is, magically, that happens to be the number that we would need for two new rangers,
right.
And so I'd prefer to use it for that.
Okay, I understand that you'd prefer to use it for that, and we should consider that amendment on Wednesday, but no matter what, we shouldn't fund it at 150 if we're going to do it at all, because it only costs 100. So let's when we get back to that, let's make sure we've got the right number on the table. Okay, another much smaller item that I want to highlight, we got good testimony about this at the hearing, and that is the Rosewood Community Center. This is an unusual situation. This is a community center that is operating in partnership with the city, where we have police programs, we have parks programs being provided in a part of the city that is very far from a city community center, about 70 blocks from a community center. And we've had big challenges in that part of the city. So I think the request was for $55,000. It's a staff member, so it is an additional position, and therefore, you know, I don't want to hide that ball. But I think, given the situation in East Portland, given the level of gang violence, given the fact that we had four people injured in gunfire inside of this building, I think, frankly, making sure they're fully staffed and that they have everything they need in terms of their working relationship with the police bureau is something that we ought to think about. Small dollar item. So I want to put that one on the table on Wednesday as well.
Can I? But they already get Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative funding, correct?
They do, I believe, get NPI funding, and those fund those programs. Those don't necessarily fund, because they're urban renewal dollars, they don't necessarily fund either the police or the parks-related programs.
So the other potential for that is I'll ask my park staff to work with you on the $2 million ongoing within the community centers program.
Right, they get some of that.
It's possible. Let's look at how the numbers ended up last year and see, could we squeeze this $55,000 out of that?
Yeah, very open to doing it that way, one way or another. I just want to make sure there's that they're getting due consideration, and if we can cover it in the existing community centers initiative funding, great.
Can I raise a budget note? We talked a little bit about on the Halperin Fountains putting a dollar amount, or at least the request, or an approximate amount, so that a future council knows what was in play. Obviously, it's contingent on the LID being funded, and there's a big agreement that has to be met. But I think the budget note would be strengthened if we put a placeholder number in the approximate amount of, and I think it was $1.4 million, but whatever it is, I'm going to propose that amendment so we have some clarity.
I'm sorry, you're going to propose, but we've got this language here. You're proposing that it be strengthened?
Yes, so that it now just says that request one-time funding, and I just want to insert in the approximate amount of $1.4 million
so
that it's clear that we're talking about the deal that's on the table.
And could we also reference in that budget note the LID that's proposing to be formed, that money is contingent on the
LID must be formed, and they must meet their obligation in order for us to fund. And that I think is clearly understood. I just want a future council to know that the one-time funding was in the approximate amount of 1.4.
Yeah, so, and the request was 1.5. The original
1.5,
request that came in.
Okay, but both of the I would urge that we think about putting both of those in there. That it's both the 1.5 and that it's contingent on the formation of a local improvement district.
We won't be debating what it means in the future council.
The council, it's going to be this council, because we'll either deal with it in the fall or it won't happen. I think that's their situation, is they're either going to form this LID or they're not.
It's a long time between now and then. We don't want to forget.
That could happen.
I do need to add there is some concern from the folks doing the fundraising that this budget note is not strong enough. And so I want to bring that forward. They have raised that without the certainty of funding in the fall, they're concerned about their ability to form the LID.
I understand their concern, but I think they can do everything but finalize the LID, right? Because doesn't council have to approve the LID? I think we do.
I think so.
And also, John Russell has signed up to testify during the public session on Wednesday, so we can reassure him that it is our intention to do this.
So I have another budget note, which I've passed out, which is regarding the proposed $350,000 one-time allocation to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement for pilot engagement around housing. And that would state the Office of Neighborhood Involvement will work with the Portland Housing Bureau and Home for Everyone to develop materials and messaging for community engagement on housing prior to spending the one-time allocation.
So I have some comments on that. Well, I thank Commissioner Fritz for her suggestion to create a pilot engagement program around housing and homelessness. I don't think the council should prejudge that this money will necessarily go to ONI. In fact, the Housing Bureau staff is feeling quite marginalized by this approach of saying that ONI should be doing outreach work when the Housing Bureau is working hard every day to do such outreach. So I'll bring a budget note on Wednesday that would propose to place this money in contingency and then have the Housing Bureau work with ONI and the new to be created Joint Office of Homeless Services to come up with a plan to spend $350,000 on concerted outreach, which could involve working with many of the nonprofits we already work with on tenant rights and services, fair housing and discrimination outreach education, and would prioritize working directly with these agencies serving protected classes and culturally specific organizations. So a little different, but a proposal I think that the council should hopefully follow. In other words, place it in contingency, let ONI, Housing Bureau, and the Joint Office of Homeless Services come back to council with a proposed plan on how to spend the money and not prejudge the money goes to ONI automatically.
All right, so either budget notes or
I have a
items?
Question.
Sure.
So here with the no BLT increase proposal, and I've been questioning since last myself mainly, since last Thursday, what are the advantages or disadvantages for the business community to pass it? Because it's not clear to me what are the advantages or disadvantages to the business community to pass it or not pass it. My first concern is that if we're not having the diversion program, the police staffing, or the incentive street engagement, so if we would be removed,
intensive street engagement is still in this proposal, but it moves over to the one-time column. So it's funded, but it doesn't automatically continue.
So these would not be removed if we don't have the BLT?
The main piece that goes out is the police staffing money, because it's not $3 million, it's actually $9 million, and it's also impacts on the pension fund. So that's what's not in. The concern I have with the diversion program is it relies on there having to be somewhere to divert people to, and we've got lots of people who are being case managed who are on the streets because there isn't a place for them to go. So adding another level of case management for folks living outside doesn't help until we've figured out where they're going to go.
If I could also just note on the diversion program, I had a productive conversation with Chair Kafori on Friday, and there's a Cadillac version that the district attorney has his eye on, and there's sort of a VW version that the chair has looking at, and somewhere in between, I think, is going to be a good idea. Chair Kafori said, in a perfect world, we put aside $500,000 as a placeholder, because she has a scaled-back version where it would be geographically focused and it would be targeted to drug offenses and not the whole range of offenses. Just speaking for myself, I think somewhere between the district attorney's idea and what Deborah Kafori is talking about and the mayor is talking about, I think there's something that the council can support. The details are still being worked out, and we will have another bite at the apple on that.
Yeah, so Dinesh, go back to your question.
Yes.
The the big changes between the version with and without the business license tax increase is the removal of the funding for additional police compensation called police staffing, and the removal of the diversion program. The intensive street engagement is still funded at the same amount, but it moves over from ongoing to one time. So it's in the budget, but it doesn't automatically continue after the next year.
My questions, I still have my questions. So what are the advantages for the business to have the BLT? So yeah, I mean, I know that someone could say like the disadvantage is that we will pay the fee, but what are the advantages to do have it? Like if I'm a business owner,
right,
I want to know what is in for me by paying that fee.
Right. Well, so I hear all the time, in fact, I heard at 9 p.m. on Saturday night from the Boone family that owns property in the Central East Side about losing a tenant because of public safety problems and conflicts with the homelessness situation in the Central East Side in their neighborhood. They'll be at a meeting that we're having this afternoon to talk about what we can do in the Central East Side. But the combination of not having enough police officers to do much beyond 911 response, and therefore not much response on non-emergency calls, means that those situations don't get much police attention. Secondly, we've already taken people out of the graffiti unit or out of graffiti work in the police bureau and reassigned them to patrol. So this anemia in the police bureau, where we are starting to shift people from community policing work into 911 response, because we always have to respond code 3 when somebody calls and says there's gunfire, right? And there's a lot of gunfire because of the gang situation, among other problems. So that's one reason. That one thing I hear from the business community a lot is that they want more police officers and they want more response to non-emergency situations like camping, problems that I just described in the Central East Side. The second motivation, if I were a business person, to support raising my taxes to pay for better city services is that diverting people from the criminal justice system who are homeless is cost effective. And again, a much higher level of service now, because when a police officer encounters somebody who's homeless and who's committing a minor offense, one of those minor offenses might be illegally camping, they have two choices. One, to sort of not deal with it, and the other, to arrest them for violating city code or state law. Seattle's experience and other cities' experience has been taking those folks to diversion, which doesn't necessarily mean taking them to housing, although that would be wonderful, and we include a lot of funding in this budget for more shelter beds, but being able to take them to diversion and say, if you take your tent down and come with me, I'm going to take you to the diversion program, and they're going to see if they can connect you up with services. You say you're a homeless vet, that's great, there might be a place for you, instead of taking them to jail. I think that's more humane and more effective, but it requires a higher level of service than we're performing today. So I think in this budget, as I've proposed it, and with or without this budget, the business community needs to face the question of what kind of city do we want? Do we want enough city with enough police services that those kind of problems get addressed, that we continue doing things like walking beats and addressing non-emergency situations? And do we want to up our game with respect to homelessness beyond the huge investment that we're making in housing? I think the answer to both those questions is yes.
I mean, the last 2 weeks, my working in Southeast, not being able to park without disturbing someone camp, and not being able to do a contract because there was going to be so much with a business in Southeast, because there's currently so much homelessness, and we don't have the Cadillac yet. I understand that. It seems that it's more advantageous for the business community to pass the BLT. So I'm having a hard time understanding the issue, because I think that business is needed. So instead of not having deducted this one time for so long, I mean, it's a lot of money.
I just wanted to point out that another thing that's not funded in one time or ongoing and the no new revenue budget is the body cameras, which I think will make a huge
difference. As I mentioned, I want to put that on the table on Wednesday to try to fund that with the funds that we're now dedicating to capital, because we have already met our requirements for how much one time goes to capital.
So, Mayor, I appreciate that, and I'd like to try to work with you and my other colleagues to see if we can make that happen. So my question to the city budget office is, what would be the impact on ongoing versus one time if we were to divert for this some of that capital set aside to body cams?
Yeah, so there are two ways to do it. One, if we diverted the funding in 16-17 so that police got going right away with the body camera program, we would need to find $1.6 million or $1.7 million of one-time offsets. If, on the other hand, we kept the ongoing funding in there and said this is what police will get in 17-18 and beyond, and it gives them 16-17 to ramp up their body camera program, you would have to reduce less on the one-time side. So I think there's a way, and I want to talk to my staff to make sure I'm right about this, but I think there's a way to essentially give police the green light to move forward with body cameras, knowing that it's going to take them some time to get the program up and running, and then $1.7 million of ongoing would be there in 17-18 when the program is up and running.
Let's spend a minute or two with the chief and Mike Krebs on that subject, and that is, you know, I'm obviously interested in doing this. There may be council interested in doing this. Come on up if you can. And that is, obviously, we don't go from 0 to 60 in 10 seconds here. We don't go from spending nothing on body cameras to spending $2 million a year, you know, so or $1.6 million a year. So how does that, if you as the chief and the command staff knew that the city council is not only going to fund the acquisition of body cameras, which we partially did with the 860,000, I think, 834 that we've already allocated, that you've already got and can carry over, right? That's proposed to carry over still. Yeah, so you've got that money, you can carry it over. If we step up and say the remaining funds are coming, what's the ramp up look like?
And just before that you answer that, and I'll give you time to think about it, I want to remind the council that we haven't actually made the decision yet that we're going to do body cameras. We had a hearing that was fairly contentious a year ago. Since then, Representative Lou Frederick and others put some safeguards in at the state level in terms of surveillance and when they would be on and such like. I believe that the Community Oversight Advisory Board is and the Department of Justice process is starting to get to consensus that it would be a good idea. So I certainly am very interested in doing it. But let's just remember that we haven't actually set as a council policy with a vote that we're going to do it. And then the second thing to maybe factor into your answer is the Portland Business Alliance suggested to me that there might be some kind of federal funding for both initial purchases and ongoing storage capacity and those kinds of things. So in terms of the number that's in the proposed budget, is that fungible? Could it be plus or minus depending on whether we can get grants and other things?
I'll jump in and start. So a couple things. The one big wild card that would still be outstanding is that the city has an obligation to bargain around body camera impacts and policy. So that's the one wild card going forward, not accounted for in body camera money, accounted for in the other pool of money. We've done a lot of work. We were down testifying the legislature this year. We got the legislation piece around body cameras, where it works well for us. We've had, this is one issue that the police bureau's had probably more interest in externally and internally than any other issue. So we ended up having half a dozen different community forums to get input, as well as all of our electronic input, both externally and internally. So our next piece would be proposing a body camera policy based on that. And that's where, in that policy, that's where we come back to the union piece there. And with respect to some of the grant opportunities, the majority of those grants, and body cameras, I think, are going to be the new national standard for the profession. You had the president talking about it this year, and Congress even authorizing money and grant opportunities for departments. The majority of those grant opportunities were for departments who had not yet looked at those or piloted those. So we were not eligible for a lot of that because we've been looking at this for a while. We have already piloted that. Of course, we have the cameras in the car, but we did on-body camera piloting out of our traffic division.
Yeah, one piece, Mayor, you talk about ramping it up, and if we were approved, you know, sufficient funding for this, I can't see us really start to deploy them until late fall, maybe the first part of next year possibly, because we have to, first of all, get the body cam policy in place, send out an RFP. We want to take a look at the best cameras out there, and we have to decide, are we going to store in the cloud? Are we going to have our own storage here? Number of answers, number of questions need to be answered. So I'm thinking late fall, maybe early part of 17. So any money allocated now, we probably wouldn't start using until, you know, the latter part of the year or the first part of next year.
So obviously what we want you to do between now and Wednesday is make sure we've got that number clear in terms of what that actual dollar amount is, and that maybe that's the 1.6 or maybe it isn't. And then secondly, obviously, it does still need to be bargained, but if it's funded, then you know that that's possible once it is.
And just following up, if the Bureau could look into asset forfeiture fund as well, because I understand that some of those funds may be available for body camera costs, and so again, may help bridge to the future if the ongoing funds get set aside. So.
Yep, we can look at that for sure.
Great.
Question. Commissioner Fritz, you might know this. Is there is funding from Cable Regulatory Commission that could be allocated to that? Cable Regulatory Commission? Cable money? It's for technology. And it's lots.
I think that there's maybe a number of different places that we might be able to find the money. I think I agree with the mayor that it's important to have a placeholder in this budget as to whether it's exactly that number or not, I think is debatable. And so I agree that we would ask maybe the Cable Regulatory Commission if they could assist, if there's federal grants or Homeland Security or whatever, and that would seem...
And everybody may remember these details, but we've got to buy the equipment. We got to figure out how we're going to store it,
correct?
Store the data, and then we have staffing costs associated with managing that data, because officers coming in off a shift or downloading their data one way or another, they're going to need to manage that and to respond to records requests from that based on the state law that we got, which actually is workable, that we will not be overwhelmed with records requests, but we will certainly have a lot of them.
Very labor-intensive. Anyone that's implemented a body cam policy quickly found out that they need the personnel to keep this thing up. This isn't just, you know, you film it and stick it in the cloud. There's a lot of things going on with redaction for public records requests. There's a retrieval for a going to court, all those kinds of things. There's a lot of personnel hours involved in body cams, too.
Yes, it might be a staffing issue, too, that we can do it when we have better staffing.
Yes, that's in some of that.
Yeah.
Mayor, I have just a procedural request. Since we have a pretty small number of proposed amendments and changes, I would request that all of our colleagues get their language in by no later than tomorrow afternoon so that Andrew can send out a cheat sheet with the amendments, with how we pay for them, and to the extent there is an impact that goes beyond moving money around, contingency or whatever, he gives us, he shows us what those options are, so we have a chance to come in Wednesday with a clear-eyed assessment of the options.
Close of business tomorrow is pretty late, so could we make it by earlier than that?
Yeah, I was going to suggest noon tomorrow.
Noon tomorrow?
If possible, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's soon enough, Andrew? All right.
Yeah,
so the mayor has made clear that his remaining priorities are Rosewood, which is, I say, I'll work with Parks and see if, and your office and see if there's a way to make sure that that gets funded, because I agree it's an area of town that's underserved, and the cameras that we just discussed. My two, as I mentioned, are the Rangers for East Portland and the director's administrative assistant. As you'll recall, the budget office had recommended three administrative positions in ONI. The proposed and the no revenue both provide the administrative assistance for crime prevention and livability, but not for the director's office. That's $85,000, and I would really appreciate that being funded. It's essential.
Just on that, a couple of things. Commissioner, on the ONI position, we did just recommend two of the administrative positions. You are asking for the third. CBO recommended two, and that's what was in the mayor's proposed. Yeah, just want to be clear. And overall, in terms of this, I want to get a sense from the Budget Committee. So and Commissioner, you just ran through these, but let me do them again. The potential changes for Wednesday that I've heard talked about, you know, maybe using some of the capital set aside for future body camera costs, potentially moving, the basketball funding over to Fund Rangers, funding for the Rosewood Community Center, some changes to the budget note on Halperin regarding the dollar amount and the LID. The linkage there. Potential changes regarding the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, a budget note on the outreach, the homelessness outreach funding, and potentially a couple amendments around that. Commissioner Fish, I heard you mention diversion program, $500,000, but I wasn't sure if that was a formal change or not.
No, I was just, I'm not proposing at this point, but I, unless the mayor wants to have that discussion on Wednesday as a placeholder, because I think the county chair does have a more modest first phase, and there's a number of ways we could tackle it. I do think the concept of a diversion program is very important if we're going to be doing enforcement, because when people get cited, then they can't actually get into homes because they don't pass the background check, and this, and all, then we start having a clean slate come and clean up their balance sheet so they can, you know, they can get a job or housing. So I think the concept is good. The question in my mind is it cooked? Do we have a concept? And then what's the scale? And we and potentially we can have that conversation soon, but not through the budget. And I would look to the mayor for some guidance on that.
Yeah, I'll check on that. I appreciate that. There's a working group that consists of the district attorney and the county, as separate from the district attorney, because obviously he's an elected official and he has his point of view. County board is reducing the number of jail beds in their proposed budget, so this is more needed than ever, maybe. The Lane Borg and others, folks from legal services. So there's a big working group that's been working on this. We'll check in with them and see if they think there's a reasonable placeholder number.
And then, Commissioner Fritz, you had mentioned the officer neighborhood involvement, the administrative position as well as a potential amendment. So,
I got one more fact detail check that has escaped me, and that is, between the first set of hearings and the second, we talked about the Multnomah County Sheriff IGA.
Oh,
is
right,
that
the,
in?
The River Patrol.
Is that in now?
It is not.
All right.
So River,
we have to take that up on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, River Patrol, time probably again. And let me just, I just want to comment on the previous discussion, and then I know you'll finish up. Remember that we will, after the budget is finalized, be discussing whether we're going to refer a tax on recreational marijuana sales to the voters in November. That's not part of this discussion, but potentially, particularly if the diversion program is more targeted, focused on folks with drug and alcohol problems, that might be something that could be funded in a different way.
I also wanted to bring forward an amendment on Wednesday that would fund the Smart Cities Initiative, the Open Data Access Plan, for consideration by my colleagues. Something that we received a lot of testimony during budget hearings, also during the comp plan hearings, about the need for an open data access plan. So I'd like to bring that forward for consideration.
I have two others that were raised at the Bureau staff level. One is for the Bureau of Development Services. It would add an additional three positions related to ITAP to deal with some of the ITAP project issues, and they would be funded with fee revenue. So if there is no objection, we'll move forward with that as well. And I actually want to get to a process standpoint in just 1 second. And then also, there is a budget note that was added in the approved as filed regarding the data center, and the Office of Management and Finance. And what that budget note says is, again, it reminds everyone that council has allocated the first year costs of the data center, but there is an additional general fund cost moving forward, and it directs OMF to bring forward a decision package in next fall's bump, requesting one time, and it says council will consider that as a high priority. OMF has raised the concern that they really do need that to be funded, and so whether changes could be made that says council will fund that. The thing I do want to note is, again, with the Halperin Fountain, we're dealing with a couple of the same issues there in terms of competing priorities. So I did want to raise that, though. They are concerned about contracting and moving forward with that data center relocation without the certainty of the remaining general fund. The remaining general fund was about $2.7 million more. So that may be an issue as well for Wednesday. From a process standpoint, I want to make sure that I'm getting a sense of counsel on this. Previously, in discussions with your staff, there was some desire to bring forward the no new revenue proposal as a complete package on Wednesday. It would essentially be a substitute for the existing approved that's on there. If there is that general sense from council that's still the direction, I will do that. We will prepare that. And then these other amendments will be brought forth separately. Okay. All right. So that's what we will do.
May I get a clarification from Commissioner Saltzman? What was that last item you were just talking about for smart cities funding?
For an open data access management plan.
And isn't that what the $40 million grant is going to be for? I'm not familiar with this, what you're talking about.
Turn it over to my capable chief of staff, Brendan Finn, for an explanation.
Good morning, Mayor Commissioners. Brendan Finn, Budget Advisors. Bureau of Planning and Sustainability put in budget request for smart city coordination. As you know, we have about half a dozen to a dozen efforts that are happening around smart cities. One of them is the grant, and they put in a budget request that wasn't recommended for council consideration to coordinate all the efforts around that. Since the comp plan hearing, there seemed to be an interest among council to create an open data policy for the city of Portland. So we are putting forth this request to not only do the smart cities coordination, but to bring forward, and it's a one-time request, and I don't have all the details with me right now, but Director Anderson has agreed, as I just spoke with her earlier, to put this in there. I know it's very late in the process, but it came out of the comp plan hearing and what we heard around creating an open data policy.
And what does the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Planning think about this?
I think I need to talk to the planning director.
And was there a number attached to it?
There was. I think it was $120,000 one time.
The original request was $140,000.
$140,000.
Yeah. Do you have a suggestion for where that money would come from?
It was as far as we had $180,000 left before we bounced in one time, based on everything that's been approved and what we've gone over today.
Yes. Well, actually, we're using the alternative budget on the table is balanced down to the dollar, so we will need to find an offset. It's just it uses some ongoing funding for one-time expenses, so there will need to be an offset. And that's a good reminder for all amendments coming forward, and my office is happy to work with you on this. All amendments do need to identify an offset, whether it's an existing program that's funded or reducing general fund contingency or some other source.
And let me comment on that. Given that the $1 million for the grants was based on previous requests and we don't have as many this time, since this is a one-time request, Brendan, if you were to propose decreasing the grant fund by pre-approving this particular thing, we really need to focus on funding city services first before we start giving the taxpayers money away. And so that's something that I would certainly support.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Steve.
I just wanted to say something which I think is really important, because over the past week or so, there's been a lot of discussion about elements of the mayor's proposed budget. There's been some disagreement on. Today, we've talked about a number of small adjustments. I think that people might have lost sight of the fact that we've declared a housing emergency. There is a housing emergency, both in terms of affordability and homelessness. And I think the public wants to know what we're doing about that. And I think people should know that in the proposed budget without new revenue, there's a total new investment of over $29 million for homeless services, affordable housing development, and low-income homeownership and rental assistance. For example, $14.4 million in one-time funds for the Housing Investment Fund for the development and preservation of affordable housing, $690,000 for costs related to improving and maintaining homeless campsites, including trash pickup and porta-potties and storage facilities, $2.7 million to continue a Home for Everyone project, including continued one-time funding for homeless veterans and 115-bed year-round women's shelter, an additional $287,000 in one-time funds for support for homeless veterans, $2.5 million in additional one-time funds for safety off-the-streets interventions, including facility-based shelter, specialty shelter, and shelter alternatives, $6.15 million for permanent housing placement services, including $1.6 million in ongoing funds for 190 units of permanent supportive housing, and $4.4 million in one-time funds to provide 565 individuals with rapid rehousing services, $1.5 million in new ongoing funds for code upgrades and short-term regulated affordability for 100 rental units in East Portland, $300,000 for East Portland Homeownership Assistance, a program that will provide homeownership assistance and retention to an estimated 300 low-income homeowners in East Portland. I think that the fact that we're making these historic investments in housing and homelessness is something that people should know. And I think that with the media here and folks watching, it's important to highlight that fact in addition to highlighting the small adjustments to the budget and the disagreements we've had about the budget over the last couple of weeks.
Just a couple of comments and questions. I saw Lent Stabilization Fund in one, I believe it's in the one-time funding column. Why are we not using TIF funding instead for that? It's another place where some funds could be found if there's some smaller things. If that could be TIF funded, because I believe it's for all within the urban renewal area.
I'm